All right, we're back. Another episode of the What Podcast. We're going to talk. I don't know where all we're going to go with this. We've got a couple of guests. We've got Chris and Trevin, who are going to talk about their experiences at Bourbon and Beyond. They're also veteran festival goers. So we talk about the changes that they've seen. And that's where I want to go, guys. We've said on here before, I'm Barry. I've been to Bonnaroo since 2002. Brian, you've been every year since 2002. I skipped two or three. Russ, you've been every year since 2018 when we started this podcast, which is focused on primarily Bonnaroo, but festivals in general. Guys, I don't know if you feel it, but there's a lot of change in the air. The festival world is changing, right? It always has been. It always has evolved. But this year feels pretty epic for some reason. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. And part of that is the pause button, which we spent a lot of time on here. That's part of the change you're talking about. And I'm not sure if this is exactly the change you're speaking of this exact moment or one of the examples, but the convoluted nature in which these tickets are sold, I believe, is getting way out of hand. And it's been happening really slowly, incrementally, for the last maybe upwards of 5 years. And Bourbon and Beyond, when I first looked at the tickets, that was this thing I saw. I was like, this is a lot. I don't really even understand what this is. Camping for this or this for that. Add on this. And I didn't spend a lot of time. You know, granted, I could have figured it out if I had spent more time. I look at the way, and especially we'll get to it, the new pricing for Bonnaroo. And I go to their site and start poking around. And I'm like, geez, there's like 20, 25 different options.
Yeah.
Of just admission into a festival. And what happened to my days, which weren't that long ago, Barry, that you just bought your ticket.
Yep.
And you went to the festival.
Yep.
Those days are over.
No, you nailed it. And I think here's what I think happened. And it occurred to me this morning, the people who put these things together were like, how do we give people what they want? How do we give? And now all of a sudden they're like, holy crap. We're tailor made. We've gone too far.
You can't give everybody all of what they want ever.
No.
So if you try to give everybody everything they want, you're going to give most everybody a version of something that they weren't looking for. I think it's just the unintended consequence of that.
Yeah.
And
it's like I'm throwing this huge party for however pick-a-many people, and you want to tailor it to each person. And then all of a sudden that person has their own request and you didn't see it coming. That's what
they're
mad.
And then they're mad at what they want.
That's exactly right. You didn't. It's like, I've had some conversations this week. And here's where I'm going with this. The plazas, Bonnaroo. They have gone so far in making those cool. And we've talked about that over and over and over.
And did a very good job.
And they've done a tremendous job. But now it's like, are we taking away from the headliners? We've paid all this money for these artists to perform at Bonnaroo on the What and the Witch, you know, stages. But now we have these things out there in the plazas for them to do. And is it too much? You know,
and I think if you stop there, the answer would be no, a short answer, but go ahead.
Well, then you got to figure out that they've got a plan for that. They've got insurance. They've got people. They've got things they have to deal with. How much is too much, I guess, is what I'm saying. And this is not a knock on anybody. I think the festivals are trying to figure out how to attract people and sell tickets, right? Obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, is it their job to book, you know, whoever on the main stage and make sure that when you wake up in your camp that there's something for you to do? I mean,
I, I don't think it is their job.
But
to
that's
do
where
that.
It's, that's where it's gone.
But I don't think it's I think it's very thoughtful to try to think of every different aspect and try to be as unique as possible. One quick thing I want to mention in reference to this, but off slightly of what we're talking about. We always talk about we don't care about who the lineup is at Bonnaroo, and that's a little bit of, you know, exaggeration. We do care,
sure,
but it doesn't, but we're also unique, as we're very, very close. This is a world renowned music festival. I think it does matter.
I do.
Who's on this lineup. And they've had a couple of years over the last five, six, seven years. They've had a couple of clunkers. Maybe this year would be, in some people's minds, one of those years. But for most people who make it part of their rotation and part of their lifestyle, they don't care. But you're trying to pull from a big, I mean, they're trying to get from every state in the city. I mean, they've touted that as something that they're, you know, they wear as a badge of honor. And so maybe this is a way to make up for, well, all right, maybe we didn't make the perfect lineup. You can't make a great lineup every year. It's just not possible. Maybe this is their way of making that up.
Well,
maybe.
No, it's, I think we're saying some of the same things, and I don't have a right answer. I don't think there is a right or wrong answer. The other thing along what I'm saying is the fans have changed. Brian, you're in your what, early 40s. I'm 60. Mm-hmm. Russ, you're, I don't even know how old you are. You could tell me you're 10. I wouldn't even know.
If you watch his video game channel, you would think so.
Exactly. But we're of a certain age. We're also, we've done this for a long, long time. The late teens to early 20-year-olds apparently they are a different audience. They don't want to camp, a lot of them, from what I'm hearing. They want to stay in a nice hotel. They have a different expectation of what their music festival will be. We know this because of EDM. We know this because of DJs. The whole industry has changed, and so we're looking at it. I'm looking at it from my, you know, goggles, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And what I'm hearing from the people in the industry is it's all changed. And that's that pause button thing that you mentioned. That's why they're hitting pause. They're trying to figure it out.
Yeah, they're not sure how to move these $350 plus to $400 tickets necessarily, maybe. Could be part of it. I think there might be a little bit of this, and this is just this old man get off lawn type stuff, but maybe Gen Z, we're talking, I mean, millennials are old now. I mean, they are old people with kids that are growing up, and their lives are changing. And Gen Z, I'm not sure if they know what they want, because who at that age really truly does know they want. And maybe as a generation in a world that is pretty hyper focused and ADD is everybody, all ages have the problems, and maybe that is part of scrambling some of these festivals to try to figure out how can we attract people in a different way, be more creative. Which Bonnaroo is the king of that. Maybe Coachella would be a rival. None of us have ever been out that far for that festival. It's certainly a bucket list item for me one of these days. Maybe that's part of it. Maybe it is these kids don't truly know what they want. And the good news is they have short memories, and they might come back again next year if we can just tweak whatever it is we think maybe didn't work in the years past.
So, our guests today, Trevin and Chris, were you guys surprised at their answers about VIP? I was, because they both said yes to this festival, but no to this festival. They'll do VIP for this one, but not that one. I didn't expect that. I would have assumed it's VIP all the way every time, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't know if surprise is the right word. I because I get such different answers to that. I've had more experience of people who tell me who get VIP who are not, where money in that range is not crazy, but it's still like ouch, like, that's, you know, that hurts this month. And many times I've heard, you know, it really wasn't that much better.
Well, that's what, really that's what I'm saying by surprise. It's not about the money. I mean, they can both afford, or I assume, but
the way they talked, it sounded like, yes, it's something that they can afford it,
but they don't want to because it's not worth it. So my point is, imagine you're the organizers of these things. How do you deal with that? I mean, you know, you're trying to please people and create these options. And now you're hearing that this didn't work or that worked. You know what I'm saying? It's these guys have, I mean, it just, like you said earlier, Brian, you used to just buy a ticket and you went and watched a concert.
That was it. Buy your ticket and go.
That was it.
You know, the first add-on was the parking. Once, you know, that's been a long time ago now, probably a decade ago. Right. And I remember thinking that when it hit, I was like, what a actually brilliant idea. I mean, you've got all these cars coming. Charge them all $50. I mean, how much is $50?
Yeah, a guaranteed nothing. Spot. But it's so worth it.
and now, you know, that's tripled the price. And it's just gone on from there.
Now you want a shower. Now you want somebody's going to cook your dinner for you. Or do you want that? Or,
well, and as when, and speaking of, and this is what happened 20 years ago is not that relevant to what happens today. But in, you know, in 2003 and 4 and 5, my first three full years of being there all weekend long as a general attendee, I actually had a little, maybe a perk or two towards that five time. But in 2003 and 4, I mean, I was just like anybody else. And I was also 23, 24, 25 years old. And to me, the struggle was part of it. The struggle was part of it. Now that's youth culture, right? That's youth culture. But the struggle was real, and the struggle was what made it all worth it.
No, I think
I don't know if that's a thing.
No, I think you're 100% right. Now they don't want that. They want to drive up. They want to walk right to the front, and they want to see their favorite act and leave.
But in some of that setting, the way that the old pricing was, it was the one ticket price. It fits all. And that's kind of what we did. We parked, we walked in, we got Bonnaroo set up very well to be able to be experienced from multiple different viewing points. And that's what it was. You just bought your ticket and walked in. And in 2005, $189, I'm making up the number, but I think that's probably a fair guess. $189 to $200 is probably being your top price to get in. Yeah. Inflation's different 20 years ago, but that was a very doable, fine. Yeah, well, I can scrape up a couple $100 and yeah, we're going to be sleeping under the sun or we're going to be baked. That's what you do at a festival. No, there's not a plaza. None of us expected somebody to walk by and, you know, play an ukulele by our camp in the morning. Hey, wake up, guys. We're having a party for you out here. Like, you had to make your own way. And that's just how it was then. And it felt like it was part of the experience itself. But that's just, we're in a new world.
That is my point. And that's what I've been hearing for 3 weeks is these guys that are putting these things on are just scrambling because it's a different universe. The fans are different. It's not us. Our age group, I mean, we're still talking about VIP and those sorts of things, you know, the porta potty close, that kind of in water. But the younger ones, and you know, back to the get off my lawn, they got a whole different mindset, and they're the festival planners are trying to figure out what they want, and it's a different thing.
Well, they've got it's a costume contest, first of all. That's, you know, that's what it started in Coachella, moved east over time. It's a big a social media event. So you need to make sure everybody has full charges on phones at all times, that people have comfortable areas to get ready, fit check. You know, you've seen these hashtag fit check for festival fit check. We're, you know, doing the little dances on what I'm wearing today for Tuesday. Look at me. And that's part of their experience. If they can't do that, then they're going to have a rotten time and they might not come back. So I think that leads to the plazas. I think that leads to GA plus areas to get more electricity and those kinds of things.
So you're the planner. They don't make any, I mean, they make money off the ticket, but I mean, how much of your energy are you putting into making sure that the fit check, you know, area versus whether you've got Neil Young on the main stage or, you know, Pearl Jam or whatever. Because
the guy or gal who wants a fit check doesn't care if Neil Young's on the main stage.
Doesn't give a crap. Doesn't know who he is. He's an old guy. He's dead, you know. That's where we are. That's what I'm hearing from people in the industry. And that's the reason for this pause is, what the hell do we do? Where is this going? So,
Well, I'm assuming we're going to go down the road of the new 1 and 2 day ticket option.
That's part of it.
Yes, we should talk about it.
That's exactly part of it. That was, Brad Parker was very adamant that they weren't going to do that this year. And the demand apparently from folks was that's what they want. And so it's back.
Well, is it really, though?
Is it really demand? Yeah. That's what they said, but.
The cynic in me, and this is no, I mean, this was announced in the last, 5 days or so from when you're hearing this, maybe a full week since you've heard this. There's been plenty of time to discuss it on socials, Reddit and Twitter, even a little Facebook is where I'll go to see a lot of that reaction. So this is not a unique thought to me, but it certainly was one of my first thoughts. Tell me you're not selling tickets very well without telling me your tickets aren't moving very fast. Mm-hmm. Without telling me, that's my first thought is if anybody at Live Nation, C3, Bonnaroo, whoever has got a voice in this room thought that 1 and 2 day ticket sales were vital or we'll just say the word important to the bottom line. Well, then it would have been an initial offering. And they clearly decided not to go that way. And many people, misconceptions are that there's been 1 day to Bonnaroo for a long time. Less than 5 years that they've done single days. For the first 15, 16, 17 years, it was all weekend or nothing. There was never, ever a 1 day pass. If you knew somebody who came for a day, it's because they just came for a day and left. They didn't have a 1 day ticket. So to me, it screams of, what can we do to sell tickets because we're not selling them? That's me. It's me talking.
Well, aren't we saying
the
same?
Fair?
Aren't we saying the same thing?
Yeah.
And aren't we saying it's part of what we just spent the last 10 minutes talking about? This is the change. What I'm hearing is people don't want a 4 day. They don't want to go camp in the grass for 4 days. They want to do it their own way. And part of that is, they want to go when they want to go. So
Bonnaroo specifically, though, is such a different animal, you know? Like, it's, of course, if you want to go to one Bourbon and Beyond Day or if you want to go to one Shaky Knees Day, we've all done that. We've all done a music festival in a setting like that for 1 day or, well, at least I have many times. I know you have, Taco Shirley, too, Barry.
Yeah.
Bonnaroo, once you get there, you don't want to leave.
Well,
like
again,
even the worst scenario, you're not look. Yeah, I guess
that's what I'm saying. That's you and me. That's been
a lot of
trouble
to get there to want to leave right after you get there.
That's the point. That is the point. You and I, we have our. I'm with you. I've never left. Once I'm there, I've never left. It rips the Band-Aid off the magic for me. I've never understood. Hey, let's go to Walmart and get. You know, never.
Well, I'm guilty of leaving and coming back for sure, but I understand.
So,
well, I'm there until they kick me out.
Till the grass is mowed on Monday.
Yeah.
He's the guy mowing the grass. Yeah.
Locks up the gate.
But this is what I'm saying. The environment has changed so much. And you know, maybe it's 1 year. Maybe this is just this year and you know, we've done this for so long. We've seen the changes, you know.
Well, I'm curious how many, maybe they've got data on this, but how many people buy a 1 day ticket for whatever reason? Maybe they can't commit to a full weekend or whatever, but they go, they have a good time and they say, oh, next year I'm coming for the full thing. I wonder what the conversion rate is from single day tickets to people that end up going and maybe they wouldn't have before if they had a chance.
I could be 100% wrong, but I think that is part of what we're talking about. I think it's just a shift change. Mm-hmm. Don't know yet, Russ. I mean, it's a great question. You know, we've talked about the fact that 50%, 55% of people who come to Bonnaroo are new every year. Yeah. We've heard 23% of people are in the plazas during the main shows.
Yes, at any given time.
At any given time, you know, those are new numbers. Are people going just for one day to see? I don't know. Are they going just because of the headliner that day? Or are they going just because Saturday is the only day they can get off?
I think it could be all of those things.
That's my point. And I think that's what's changed, Brian. I mean, I get what you're saying. You and I go, I mean, we used to go on Wednesday and stayed on Monday. And yeah, that was it.
It's a long time.
It's a long.
I still do.
What I'm hearing is that that's not what a lot of people want to do. They wanted the one day or the 2 day, and Bonnaroo reacted to that. Is it because they aren't selling tickets? I mean, I get your point, but I don't know. It's probably both. Yeah. But I think it's because people don't want to commit to 5 days or 4 days or whatever.
Well, the price cuts are not that less. So if we're talking about that this is a financial motivated move, and with the thoughts that maybe many of the people who were on the fence, or maybe a lot of the social they were seeing was that, listen, man, I just, you know, y'all are pricing me out. I can't handle this. Well, that's fine. And I get that. And I am the king of saying, you know, hey, it's only one more dollar. Well, you know, there are more dollars. Like, there, yeah, eventually the dollars run out.
Do they?
But the prices are not. Well, that's another good question.
I mean, I really don't know. I mean, to me, Bourbon and Beyond, and even the Bonnaroo with the changes in their pricing structure, kind of proved that it's not. I mean, again, in my world, you know, another $10, another $10, another $10. But what they have proven with their VIP and all their pricing is that there are people that will pay it.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, yeah, well, and I mean, VIP is sold out. Area 931 sold out.
Right.
I mean, they're not having any trouble moving the high-end tickets. Yeah.
Yeah, well, then, you know, then that takes one off the list that just leads me back to thinking maybe overall GA is not selling as well. But, I mean, I've got a, you know, GA for 2 days Centeroo is $330. 2 days. What I don't have, my screen's not big enough to pull up the whole thing. What's the whole 4 day?
About
$80
same.
More dollars
about
than
the
that?
Same. Yeah, about the good point.
Yeah, what are you really doing here? You're not saving any money. So maybe it is experience oriented. And then I also wonder, and I wondered this from the first time they mentioned 1 day, because this is the first time I've ever heard 2 days. I mean, that's right. A first to me. They've done the 1 day.
That way you get the overnight.
Well, what happens when you get there and you just don't feel like leaving?
That's the question.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to
stripe on your hair or something. Yeah. You gotta leave. I don't know.
There's really no way to enforce that. I mean, yes, on paper you can make a way to enforce that, but it's not going to happen.
Yeah,
and you do have to have a brand. And if for anybody who is not familiar, which I'm sure you are listening to this, but you know, you scan when you go through. But I mean, without outing by name, one of our guys from our longtime Camp Nut Butter and a media organized oriented guy who is in and out of that industry now and only shows up occasionally, proved to the world.
Got everywhere, didn't he?
That it doesn't matter what wristband you have. You can be in any spot and that on that farm that you want to without being unlawful, outside of the fact that you crossed maybe one area where you weren't supposed to, but without breaking laws, without breaking things, without causing harm, he was able to peacefully and politely.
It was amazing.
He went to places I've never been.
Every time I turned around, he was right next to me.
And I hate to say it, John Stewart, I love you dearly. You ain't that smart, man. No, you're not any so smarter funny. Than anybody else.
It became his weekend. It was like, I'm just going to see where I can go.
It was the biggest challenge. It was a challenge. He had a smile on his face all weekend. We were all laughing. Every time I was like, you did it. It was the best. So to the point that one dayer and two dayers, I mean, if I'm 23 years old, 4, 5, 6 years old, and I got a 1 or 2 day and I'm having time in my life, you think,
I'm not going
to
leave.
The alarm's going off. It's time to go. Right. No, it's not.
I'm going to stay. That's a good point.
And I don't think they care about that. I mean, that extra body on the festival is not.
You're
going to
buy a beer
or
a spicy pie or whatever.
Even if you're there, you're going to buy food. You're going to buy beer.
I agree.
What I do find interesting, though, using the measurement of social media, is so much of the, and this is, I'm going to call you the Bonnaroo dorks. I'm one of you. Might be on a little different level of dorkdom, but the Bonnaroo dorks, the purist, the traditionalist, maybe even the institutionalist, talk about how this is going to ruin the vibe of the festival. See that more, that word used the most, but we understand where everybody's coming from. Same, no matter what the terminology is, meaning the feel, the environment, the festival, the atmosphere, all that. This 1 and 2 day stuff is going to ruin that. I rolled my eyes the first time I saw that. And the more I read it, I rolled my eyes even more.
Yeah.
Y'all's thoughts on how does this make this great weekend for most people who think like we all do, Bonnaroovians will say.
Yeah.
In what way does this ruin the vibe? In what way does this ruin the environment? What am I missing, or am I missing anything?
No, I think that is a great question, and I don't know the answer, and nobody does. To the point, you know, when it started, it was a hippie fest. We've said that 100,000 times.
Yeah, up until about 05.
Right, 05, it was a hippie fest, and they booked Phish because Phish fans would camp. And then 7, 9, 8, you know, 09, they started with the VIP. And I felt it. I remember walking by the VIP area and thinking, oh, man, they're selling this thing out. And then it occurred to me that they have to bring in money. They have to adapt. And if you remember, Brian, you would remember. I mean, it became everybody's Woodstock. If you were
you
couldn't go, you didn't make it to Woodstock, so this was your thing. You got to go and see naked people dancing to whatever, right?
Yeah,
I don't even know.
So just where all the freaks and geeks and weirdos.
It's where the freaks and geeks, and you got to go and act like you were hip for a while. I don't know if it's been that for how long. I mean, do you feel that?
I wouldn't use that certain terminology as far as the way we're using kind of older guys. I don't know if slang's the right word, but of the freaks and geeks and weirdos. I still think there is that nature of to be seen.
Right.
It is a place to be seen, a place to make your TikTok, a place to make your Instagram reel.
And
it,
a rite of passage.
Fit check.
Very much a rite of passage.
Youth culture, rite of passage, creates the ultimate amount of fear of missing out, FOMO for sure. I think that's all still there.
Okay.
I just think we define it, look at it a little bit differently.
I agree, and that's where I think this year feels different, and I don't know why. I don't know where it's going, to your question, which is exactly to your question. Something is changing, and I don't know what, and I'm not 19, I'm not 18. I really should not even pretend like I am or that I understand, but something is changing with Bonnaroo, but festivals in general, and I don't know exactly what, and I don't think the organizers know, and that's my point.
I would go so
point.
Far to say that a lot of the things that are changing is the loudness of social media, and I really think TikTok and Instagram Reels have become part of this. They become so dominant in social media usage, so you see
follow the What Podcast on TikTok and Instagram, by the way.
There you go, all the socials. good job, Russ. I think that's becoming so so that's so prevalent, and the greed of the American corporate machine is enemy number one in the last couple of years. Enemy number one since, you know, the counterculture of the 60s, right? I mean, it's not new, but it's still, it's evolved into what it is now. And I think people are looking, younger people are looking at this and they're immediately turned off by the amount, and this is just a thought of mine, amount of layered convolution. $150 to sit on the bleachers. Yeah, anything of these kids want to sit on the bleachers? No. But they see one, it's just like, only another 100, you know, another 150, another 150, another, are they just, are people seeing this and thinking Bonnaroo has now become the corporate greed machine?
Is it that?
That we are so mad about. And I'm just using social media as a barometer. I don't know.
Is it that, or is it just, I'm ready to move on? TikTok could be that. I've posted, I'm at Bonnaroo. Here's my TikTok post. Now I'm ready to move on. I don't want 4 days. I've been there, done it. I'm ready to go.
It's funny you say that, because at the end of one of the years recently, could have been just last year, there was a TikTok that I saw. I couldn't tell you who it is now, but it was an influencer based account. And you could tell by the way it was put together that they were, there's an influence. You go to the page on Bonnaroo where you sign up for anything from vendors to sponsors, right, to social media, to media, to whatever. There's also now a influencers tab. And this one was a quick one dayer, done very well, little video. And it was next day, we're out of here.
Yeah.
We're done with this. So yes, to your point, I think the answer is yes. Some people, that's all they need was their TikTok moment. I've done it. I've proven to everybody I'm here, and now I'm out.
I mean, let's go with Taco. You were there on Tuesday. That's a funny picture. You in the bus on Tuesday. It'd be the same picture on Wednesday. It'd be the same. Yeah. You know. I don't. All right. So
I didn't make one TikTok either.
No, but that's not me. I mean, I wouldn't. But I'm saying that's. I don't know the answer, and I'm not going to pretend. But I think that's what these organizers are having to figure out, is the whole environment is changing. It is still about the, as we hear from our guests, Trevin and Chris, it is still about who's playing. We still want to see live music. But everything else just seems like it's in such a flux right now. I mean,
and what I'd love to see in the comments of this on YouTube or at Consequence or anywhere that you find this podcast or this video, in the comments, how does the 1 and 2 day potentially affect a daily grind of the average Bonnaroovian? When I said, I mean, the guy, gal who goes and understands the environment. How does it affect? Because I don't understand how it would. I think it's nonsense to say that it will. Maybe I'm way off base. I'd love to hear in the comments more about the reasons potentially that could affect that, just out of pure curiosity.
I agree.
Yeah.
All right. So like I said, we've got Chris and Trevin on to talk about Bourbon and Beyond. And what I find interesting is a lot that they talk about the experience, the VIP experiences, what they liked and what they didn't like. And it all, I think, fits into this same conversation we're having about just how the festival world has changed, right?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I think they both had different perspectives, but they both led to the same place.
Yeah.
Is what it felt like to me.
All right. So here we are. Here's our interview with Chris and Trevin. Thanks to those guys for sharing their insights. We'll probably have some more people on. We'd like to get some younger people on to talk about what they're looking for in festivals. But here we go with Chris and Trevin. All right. We've got Chris and Trevin. We're going to talk about Bourbon and Beyond. We talked about it a little bit last week and kind of got a little scared, if we're going to be honest. So we wanted to, we reached out and said, hey, if you guys have any other experiences, we'd love to hear from you. And got several emails and responses, and including those from Trevin, who has been on the show before. Trevin, I wanted to have you back on. I was trying to explain to Brian and Russ. I've known you for quite a while, and I think I'm right. You weren't really doing the festival scene kind of before, what, 2018? And then all of a sudden...
Yeah, so 2014 was my first festival, Firefly. And it was like my daughter, Bridget, who you know, Barry, sent me this lineup in 2014. And it's like, Dad, this is like your lineup. And I've never been to a festival before. I've always been into music. You know, I play a little guitar, things of that nature. And so my son and I went, camped, never camped at a festival before. So that was my first experience. And it hooked me. You know, so Firefly has been my go-to. Unfortunately, it's on pause, as we all know. That's predominant in this going on right now. But I went in 2015. I was on the rail for Paul McCartney in 15. That was probably the highlight of my festival career, so to speak. I've been to Bonnaroo one time, 2017. We ran an RV. It was a great experience. Yeah, Bonnaroo, of course. I've been to Lollapalooza. 2022 Sloss Fest. I've been to quite a few festivals, but Firefly has been my go-to over the years.
All right, and that's why I wanted to talk to you. And then Chris, you reached out as well. You and your wife went to Berman Beyond 2022, or was it 23?
Correct. Yep, we were there 22. We were there for the Pearl Jam show.
Okay, so we wanted to. That's why we reached out to you guys both. We wanted to get sort of somebody else's take on what's going on. And Chris, you and your wife, you're veterans, festival goers.
Correct.
Right?
Not just the world. Yeah, we're old. We started in 2001 at River Stages and kind of got hooked at Nashville. And then we started going to Memphis in May to Bill Street Music Festival because it was such a good deal back in the day. You could go for all 3 days for, I think, $65. And we did that for 5 years. We also done the Lollapalooza for a few years. And then Bonnaroo was a bucket list for me. My wife finally caved in 2021, and then the hurricane happened. So she made it up to me in 2022, and then she got hooked. But last year, in 2022, we also decided to go see Pearl Jam Berman and Beyond, because you go see Pearl Jam if you get the chance, because you never know when they're going to tour. So we went, and we had heard bad things about Louder Than Life, which is on the same it's the same festival grounds as Berman and Beyond. It's just a weekend after. They just rebrand everything. And was like, well, they've had a few years to get their act together. We'll give it a shot. And we did the whole bring your chairs in, sit on the grass. And it was an experience for sure.
I don't even know how to respond to having like two festivals in the same spot.
Well, they have three, actually have three in a row.
That's crazy. So how are they
country
different?
There's a been, country festival as well.
How are they different? Do you know? I mean, are they different?
I know Louder Than Life, they had two stages to the back. Whereas Berman and Beyond, they have like one smaller side stage that they do cooking, and they bring in celebrity chefs and things for that. That they do that back there. But for Louder Than Life, they put two extra stages in the back and they alternate back and forth all day.
All right. So real quick, where are you both located? Trevin, you used to be in Chattanooga with me. Where are you living now?
Yeah, I'm in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, right outside of Harrisburg.
All right, Chris, where are you?
I'm in Paducah, Kentucky.
Okay.
About 2.5 hours north.
Yeah, pretty close to Louisville. That's why I asked. All right. So how do you festival? How do you do these? Do you camp? Are you hotels? What's your preference?
Bonnaroo camp. We camp in 931. Last year we were lucky enough to get in there. We got in again this year. So thanks for giving that.
Wow, high rolling. I was going to say
Hey, thank God for the layaway plan is all I
it's
can
awesome. It's good for you. There, it's amazing. Trust us. We know. It's great.
And then for Louder and other festivals, we'll Shaky Knees, et cetera. We will either stay in a hotel or Airbnb.
What do you do, Travin?
So I started out camping at Firefly, and I vowed in 2015 never to camp again. I did RV in 2017 in Bonnaroo, which was awesome. But at Bourbon and Beyond last year, we camped. So that was my first camping time since Firefly. The Firefly has hotels, tons of hotels around it, so it's very walkable. Of course, Lollapalooza is walking, other festivals are. So I'm mainly hotel, but I've ventured into camping again. So
can we talk about the camping setup at Bourbon Beyond right now, or do you have somewhere else? No. You wanted to go there, Barry. That's been, I think, Taco, you've wondered the same thing. We talked about a little bit in the last couple of weeks. What was the camping like at Bourbon and Beyond? We've heard a little primitive, not really what most camping festival goers would expect. And I've read a little Reddit here and there that it's not as bad as maybe we had heard. What was your experience, Trevin?
Yeah, I'm assuming, you know, that 2023 they made improvements because, I mean, yeah, it was, we were on grass, first of all. Well, we got in on Wednesday, so I flew into Louisville. My friends picked me up from Chattanooga, actually. And we had a great spot in the grass, about a mile, 1.1, I think it was, to walk in. They had shuttles to take if you wanted to. Sometimes we did, sometimes we didn't. Plenty of showers. Like, I never waited for a shower. It was good pressure. They even had a beer vending area that was actually normal beer prices. I thought that'd be festival beer prices, but it wasn't. But camping, there was a Circle K we walked to get our gear. So, the camping site itself didn't have the amenities like Firefly has, like Bonnaroo has. So I would classify it as primitive, but it was comfortable. The biggest problem was the cargo planes. That was crazy. I mean, I felt like I could reach up and touch like landing gear. I mean, it was that close coming over our heads at around 4 a.m. So
it wasn't constant.
No, it was, you know, they started leaving in the morning. Like, you know, it's a UPS facility, so they're loading their baggages and they're taking off. And then they come land again. So, it depended on the winds, I guess. You know, I don't know much about planes, but two of the 5 days, you didn't hear them. Three of the five, you did. So.
Is it round the clock festival like Bonnaroo? Is there music going on, or is it start and stop?
Start and stop.
Times?
Yeah, I think it's 10 or 11.
Okay. All right, Chris, how about your experience?
We didn't camp. I drove past the campgrounds to get in, but I didn't camp. One other thing I think is interesting is that the campground is also next to an amusement park, which is odd. Kentucky Kingdom is right across a chain link fence from the campground, but it's interesting. We were there, we drove in, parked, you park at the expo center. I think it was $20-$25 to park, normal fees, I guess, these days. But we got in, we got our spot, and then we kind of just camped in one location all day. We did GA for Bourbon and Beyond, but for Louder in Life, we were like, no, we're going to do VIP or we're not going. So we wanted the little extra space, access to the nicer bathrooms, a little less crowded in VIP. So that was but I don't think it was worth it in the end.
Trevin, didn't you do VIP as well?
I did. No, they call it Mint VIP, so not the super duper VIP. So I did Mint VIP. And yeah, I wouldn't do GA at this particular festival. VIP itself, so I put festivals in two camps. Some festivals you can go to, just book it. Bonnaroo, Firefly, Lollapalooza, Coachella, probably never been. Bourbon Beyond is a festival you need to see the schedule and then decide, am I going or not? Because it's really about the music and the bourbon. I mean, it truly is. There's a lot of bourbon stuff going on too. It's not about the, you know, amenities, so to speak.
I'm glad you brought it up I'm glad you brought it up that way, because I was kind of getting the feel over the last few weeks, especially now that I find out there's an amusement park, a chain link fence away. There's a UPS shipment facility It's the Expo Center, which is already just the Exposition Center, just doesn't sound sexy. It doesn't sound like the kind of vibe that many festival goers are looking for. To your point, take a look at the schedule, make sure that it's for you. And maybe they know that because the last several years, it's not just this year that Bourbon and Beyond's been a good lineup.
No.
It's been good lineup for about 3 or 4 years in a row now, at least if you're asking me.
I refreshed myself with 2023, but it was just like, that's when we went, though. We saw the schedule, like, holy cow, we're going to this. I mean, you have Brandi Carlile, Billy Strings, Bruno Mars, Blondie, Duran Duran. I mean, it was incredible, the music.
Yeah.
It was absolutely friggin' incredible. But yeah, it's not the immersive experience of Bonnaroo or Firefly. It's just not. It's just about the music. And then for Bourbon Beyond, it's about really good. If you're in my two buddies really into bourbon, I'm not so much a bourbon guy. I went to the Maker's Mark frozen drink booth all the time, but that was my bourbon experience.
Sounds good.
It was delicious. I mean, it was great. I was listening to Dan. I'm sure he had that experience. I don't doubt it. You know, but I think he was one of those festival goers that needs the Bonnaroo or the Firefly experience, is my take.
I'm glad you jumped on that, Brian, because I think that's what the point of this show is going to be. Is we've talked so much, and we're going to talk probably for quite a few episodes about the experience, the fan experience, and whether it's about the lineup or not. We could not have gushed any more than we did the last time about this lineup.
It's insane.
It looks made up.
Yeah, it's like what the heck?
Stupid good.
Yeah.
Right. But then, you know, then we can't, you know, it's like, oh my God, you're going to camp on asphalt. I mean, so the point is it's different, right? Do you go for the 4-day experience of hanging out with friends and the camping, or do you go because you get to see, you know, Neil Young or whatever?
Right.
I don't know. I mean, where's that line, right? I mean, I know I'm looking at Brian. I know what he's thinking. I know what Taco's thinking. He doesn't care. He's going to be in his bus. Somebody could bring a boom box and he'd be happy.
Yeah, I'll be there.
Yeah. So, wow. That's where the line is, right? Are you going to see your favorite band, and who cares, you know, whether the porta potties lines are long, or is it about the porta potty lines, right?
Exactly. I wish I could speak to GA. It seemed almost less crowded than VIP. Honestly, we're talking about that during the festival. It seemed less crowded. VIP was very crowded for the headliners. And we got there right when it opened. So we were hanging out at our campsite. Quick fire story. We go to camp on Wednesday. My buddy, it's David Knowles. He's a big airhead. He forgot the interior tent poles. So that's what we're dealing with, you know, when we first get there. But we were on grass. I'm not sure. The RVs were all on concrete. And I made a comment. And we had beautiful weather. It was not hot at all in 2023. It's 2022 sounds like you got a heat wave. So, yeah, that would be awful on that asphalt. But we have perfect weather, so.
All right, let me ask you both, and I'll ask you first. Define for us a good festival. What are your criteria?
Well, I have A and B criteria. You know, for Firefly, for Bonnaroo, I want the experience. I want to meet other people. I want also good music. Of course, it's always part of the equation. But sometimes I just want to see bands. I'm there for the music, and that's what Bourbon and Beyond is. So it varies.
We kind of want now that we've been around and we've sampled other festivals, we've kind of narrowed it down to the fact of where we want an overall good experience, whether it's the music, whether it's the festival grounds, whether it's the atmosphere. We kind of look for the whole package now.
Where do you put Bourbon and Beyond then?
Well, we are not going to Bourbon and Beyond this year, and I can tell you that Beck is one of my wife's top tier bucket list bands that she's never seen, and we're still not going.
Why?
We just did not have a good time the last time we were there, when we were there for Louder Than Life. It's the way the festival is laid out. It's very flat for the most part. So she's a little vertically challenged. She's only 5'3", so when she gets in a big crowd of people, she can't see the stage. Whereas when we're at Bonnaroo, we have the mound, or we have, you know, different areas where we can see. Also, it was very crowded. It was, the people, it's a different crowd, so to say. It's not a bad crowd, it's just a different crowd. And I don't know. We just didn't feel like it was for us.
Well,
so
it sounds a little more City Slickers-ish, if that makes any sense. But
it much more feels like a local festival, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I could totally see this going either way with this. And we, as Barry mentioned, talked a lot about how much we love the lineup, and we all do. I mean, I don't think there's a person who knows music who doesn't at least somewhat agree with that. It's got both quality and quantity. So often you only get one. Good for Louisville. I mean, I bet it's the party of the year. Louisville's, and within an hour's drive either way. I mean, we're only about 5 hours away here. It's not like it's a long...
It's the easiest drive you'll ever
make. It's not like it's a long ways away, but that is a little bit far away from home if you get stuck on a slab of concrete, or if you are having carrier planes flying over your head and it's annoying you, or you forgot something or whatever. I guess I don't have a greater question other than, I mean, you say, Chris, you're not going, and Trevor, you go back? Are you going? Okay, Chris,
I got my VIP like the day the lineup came out.
Oh,
I called my buddies. I'm like, we got to go again.
What about you, Chris? Are you out? Is that kind of a deal breaker for you now then? Or
yeah, we're out. Yeah, we're not going.
So, Trevin, who on the lineup told you? Who grabbed you?
I mean, just go each day. You know, it's just a crazy. I mean. I've seen Beck a couple times, but going to see them. The headliners are not as good this time to me. It's more the depth.
Yeah.
I think maybe Taco, you mentioned it, you look at it, you're like, holy cow, Chris Isaak's on there. You look at it again. What? Bruce Hornsby? What happened to the range? And then, was Bruce Hornsby and somebody else? I mean, every time I look at that lineup, I'm like,
the noisemakers.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Every time you look at it, you see a different name
right.
You didn't notice before. So
that's true. I mean, I saw Soul Sodom. Yeah, I mentioned Soul Sodom last show, Now Summerfest is another one that I went to last summer, and it's similar in the sense there's no camping there. It's in Milwaukee. It's all concrete, but it's a permanent structure in downtown Milwaukee. It's totally local. But I went with a buddy because of the lineup. Saw Soul Sodom, Dinosaur Jr. So a lot of repeats from the summer I saw that I want to see again.
All right. So Russ and Brian, are we back in or are we out?
I don't think I'm anywhere new. I'm right in that same purgatory area of the festival lineup mesmerizes me. It speaks to me. I'm glad, Trevin, we can bond over the Soul Asylum thing. Oh my God, I love that band.
They were so
and they
good.
Don't,
not
and they don't tour anywhere. I mean, outside of the Northwest. And but I think I'm in the exact same spot. This is going to be. We'll just have to just give me the rest of the year to keep thinking about it, and we'll go from there. I also many times though I've found it curious when people talk about the VIP versus GA, and oftentimes at Bonnaroo, people say the VIP is not worth the money.
Yeah, I would never, but yeah, I would not do VIP at Bonnaroo. I wouldn't do VIP at Lollapalooza, but Bourbon and Beyond.
It works at Bourbon.
Yeah. You need VIP out there. I think it's not to me. It's everything's relative, but $800 for 4 days of crazy good music. I mean, that's still a pretty good deal.
That's a great question. Chris, you raised your hand. What were you going to say?
I am VIP all the way. I enjoy the very much being able to sneak into that air conditioned lounge in the middle of the afternoon when it's 100 degrees out, or they do usually offer some sort of free beverage throughout the day, throughout the weekend, which is helpful. Last year it was soda, which wasn't great. The year before that it was water, which was the Liquid Death water, so that was better. But yeah, the air conditioned bathrooms, the running water, the access to some of the for the witch stage, to be able to get up close at the witch stage is really nice, to get in that little side pocket, which I don't understand why it's so big. It seems unnecessarily
huge.
Large.
It was huge.
But I appreciate it nonetheless. And for us older folks to be able to go up on the mound and chill out in those tiny chairs is it's pretty nice.
Trav and Chris, thank you guys so much for giving up some time on a Sunday morning and offering your insights. This is exactly what we wanted to talk about.
Yeah, I hope to see you guys in Louisville. Let me know if you're going. I'd love to catch up with you there.
If we're there, for sure.
We'll be talking about it every week until September, yeah. I think.
Oh, well, one more festival I'm going to is that new one in Charlotte. And the first weekend of May, we're trying to see Noah Cohen, and he's there. And we could make Shaky Knees, so I can.
What a nice guy. I hope you heard his episode on our
I did. Yeah.
Show. Mm-hmm. Guy is so cool. What a great guy.
Yeah, our report back on Love and Life is a new one in Charlotte.
That one comes up Bonnaroo last year because that show was so huge. Everybody says, where were the screens? Where were
major
the
overflow. One of the biggest overflow crowds I've ever seen on the this, maybe that. No, that. It was that biggest overflow crowd I've ever seen.
Yeah, what a nice guy.
Yeah, that's awesome. Can't wait to see him.
I don't know if we've cleared that up or we made it muddier. I don't, or are we,
didn't clear it up for me.
I'm still on the fence. Yeah.
I still kind of,
it just addressed all the same things I've been thinking about, but it didn't, I don't think these answers are going to be easy to be found because this is a depends on who you ask situation in certain aspects of it.
If I could drive up there and be right up close for Neil Young, I'm in, I'm going.
You don't know how many more days the man's got on a stage. That's I mean that with all the depths of my heart. One of my favorites of all time. That's a Thursday night too.
Yeah, yeah, and that's just one. I just plucked that name out of that unbelievable lineup.
I know.
So, yeah, we're that's still in the conversation. So
I do also want to mention real quick, just a quick plug for Totem. They're having an event in New York City, Sunday, February 18th.
So that would be Totem is Daniel and Sharla, the Real Rubus folks. I'm on that board. They've put together an organization to give tickets. Thank you. I'm glad you mentioned that, Russ. They are going to provide scholarships for people to go to Bonnaroo. Their goal, and it's an ambitious goal, is to pass this on basically to people. To Brian, what you were just talking about, the vibe and everything, we love it. We are 100% into it, and so are they, and that's what Totem is all about. So yeah, check that out. But back to the point, we have tickets to give away. I don't know how we're going to give them away, but we're going to give away two tickets, GA Plus. We've gotten those thanks to our co-founder of the What Podcast, Brad Steiner, got us a couple of tickets, as he has for the last several years. So we'll figure out how we're going to give those away in the next couple of weeks. So,
and none of this one day, 2 day nonsense.
Yeah,
you
got to go,
weekend.
Man. No, you got to commit.
The full ticket. Yeah.
Report back and tell us. Time stamp it. Find a newspaper. That's show exactly us.
You're
there
you got to show up Tuesday with me. That's the only catch.
All right. What else? What other news did we miss? God, there's so much. We didn't even get to it all. We talked.
The buzz of this one day, 2 day thing is what's kind of, you know, just consumed my social comment in the weeds threads read, which I enjoyed reading a lot of it. And some of it, I just thought, I just don't get how that would be a problem. But, you know, hey,
no, I get it, man. But maybe I didn't say it right, but I think it's part of just the whole shifting change. And that's what that was my point that I wanted to talk about.
Well, and it's either change or what? Pause? Die? I don't know. You know, like if they don't do some of these changes, you know, Bonnaroo might be one that says we're on hiatus until we can figure out what to do. So,
well, I mean, they've been fighting back from some financial struggles for a long time. How long can they do this? I mean, we go back to 16, they barely sold any tickets. We go back to one of these years, 19, I think, didn't sell very good tickets. Then all the 2021, we don't need to reset that. And then, you know, how long can financial distress be prevalent in your business organization before you have to make drastic changes, which are stuff we don't even want to talk
about.
Don't
forget, we love Bonnaroo, but it is a commitment. I mean, it's a unique animal. You are camping in a 700-acre field for 4 days minimum. You know, forget the one-day, two-day thing. I mean, it is a commitment. We're an hour away. I mean, there are people who drive 15 hours to this thing.
I know. And
we've talked to them on the show.
Yep.
One of my favorite things in my life over all these 20 years is, especially at the holidays or something, and you get into, you know, you get stuck into small talk. And that small talk I don't mind having. And it's always like, so what about Bonnaroo? Or my daughter's about to be 18, wants to go to Bonnaroo. Yep. Is it safe? And you know, same kind of conversations over and over again. And to me, it is maintained its image as being a place, a festival that you have to go to as a young person. And even as not a young person, I tell everybody it's not for everybody. It's not. I still say you give it one try.
Right.
Give it one try.
Yeah.
And just be for nothing else for a story, man. Just say, man, I hated it. It was the worst thing ever. Let me tell you all about it. But I get it. Some people are going to laugh at that and be like, yeah, no thanks. I need a mint on my pillow at night. Thank you very much.
It's the best, man. I mean, it's changed our lives. There's no question about it. We're sitting here talking about it every week. I mean, it's incredible. So, but
it's become ingrained in most things in my life over the course of a year of just random comedy. It's a wonderful, wonderful place. Even with all this convolution, I don't feel like the magic of the festival is gone at all.
No, I don't.
Now,
either.
Your wallet might be hurting and your credit card statement by the end of the year is going to be biting in the ass, but the magic is still there.
No, I'm glad you said it that way. And I want to make that point. It just feels like a change to me. I'm not, you know, naysaying anything like that. It just feels like a shift change. And they've done that many, many times. We've made that point before. Going back to the fish and the hippie fest, it's changed multiple times, you know, from adding bathrooms to the VIP and all that. It will continue to change. This just feels like one of those years when, to me, there's a pretty big shift change, and it's not just Bonnaroo. And in talking to the folks that put these things on, it's an industry change. Bourbon and Beyond, all of them, are dealing with a lot of these same things. You know, the headliners, supposedly it's a tough year to book headliners. That's because we came out of COVID. It's just worth noting is all I'm saying. So no, I think it's still great. I'm excited. I think I'm more excited about going back this year than I have been in the last 4 or 5 years. And I don't know why, quite honestly. Just want to see what's up.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
I haven't been on a show with you guys to talk about the lineup itself that much. I've actually wanted to do a deeper dive down the road and look at some of these bands that are repeats. It's always been my biggest thing that I've complained about Bonnaroo for 20 years was that it's like they repeat a lot, but they do it in a very unique way. And we can get into that another time. But I still don't love the lineup, but it doesn't matter. Never Not Great. And I can't wait for June as much as I haven't been able to wait for it most every other year. Now time flies so fast, I actually can wait till June. I have a lot to do between now and June. So yeah, June, take your time. It's okay. You don't need to get here sooner than you, than normal.
Yeah. Well,
we will hopefully have a lot of these artists on the show too, aren't we?
Yeah. We will have artists on. We will talk about lineup. We'll do the deep dive. I don't know if we're going to do Bonnaroo Roulette. It's one of my favorite things. We'll do something similar. This is February and we haven't even really talked about the lineup much other than lineup day. So lots to do. So, all right, guys. I think that's it. We could do this all afternoon. I could anyway.
I could. I got nothing else to do.
We got this dumb football game.
Oh, there's that. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Gotta go see
Taco's gotta put his bets in.
Gotta go see what Tay Tay's wearing. All right, love you guys.
Consequence Podcast Network.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.